If you're not happy in life, then you need to change, calibrate, readjust. Flush your negative energy and fill it with positive energy. How do we do that, you might ask? Well, I would start by making others happy. Diseases are not the only thing that spreads easy. We are all connected in some form of unseen energy. Think how those around you will impact you and make you feel if they were happy. And this week's opening quote comes from Al Munoz. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, here I am in LA, folks, in the heart of the beast. And it really is the heart of the beast. Just, you can feel it when you come here. There's a very, very significant energy that can be felt in this place. You know, LA has really been part of the mind control grid for so long. It's where so much of the pop culture and modern counterculture has come from. And just driving around the streets here and seeing the street signs and seeing the buildings, you can feel it. And you can see how they scripted it, how they wrote it, and you can see how much it is spread out and gone around the world. Really, most of what people see about America really is LA, because most of what people see about America comes from Hollywood. Even with a lot of the music culture, just driving around and seeing some of the street signs and the street names and the names of the suburbs, these are things that appear in so many songs, and it kind of turns the whole place into a novelty for people who come here from overseas. Even the visions that they have of other places, such as New York and the Rocky Mountains or whatever, it all still is the LA version of those places, because it's the Hollywood version of those places. You really can feel that it is where so much of the culture has come from. And it really is a very interesting energy in this place. Strange to be here, very strange indeed. But that is where I am recording this show today. I'm actually at Benny Will's place from Joy Camp. Benny's been kind enough to let me stay here for a couple of weeks, and we're preparing for the regeneration gig that's going to happen up in Big Bear Lake in a week's time. On the 23rd, I believe it is, of this month. Really looking forward to that gig, folks. So if you can get up to that one, it would be great to see you there. But what an interesting couple of weeks it's been. Donald Trump is certainly going hell for leather with his ridiculous foreign policies, and the airstrike against Syria was most certainly a direct backflip on everything that he'd said he was going to do. Indeed, Donald Trump had been condemning any strikes against Syria before elected, and now here he is striking Syria. Of course, there's much of the independent media that is presenting this as some type of 4D or 5D chess move, but really it's not that at all. It's just a continuation of the same agenda, and a continuation of posturing against Russia, against China, posturing against North Korea. That really looks like it might turn into something ugly. But I don't think we're heading for nuclear war just yet, folks. In fact, I don't think we're ever heading for nuclear war. I just don't think that is ever going to be on the cards. I think nuclear war is a great deterrent to put the fear of nuclear war into people. But I think nuclear war destroys all business, and I think it would be counterproductive for any country to launch a nuclear strike on anyone. So I don't think we're headed for that, but we are certainly heading for some interesting times just in the chess moves, the political chess moves that are being played at the moment. And even if war does happen, well, is it really happening? Is it really war? Because is anything what we're told it is when we see it on television? That's the thing. If you talk to people who've gone to Iraq and gone to certain battle zones the United States has sent people into, most of the people will tell you that they basically sat around doing nothing most of the time, and it was all for show, and that most of these wars aren't really being fought as they're being presented on television. There isn't these raging battles going on. There might be little moments of conflict here and there, but mostly it's about funneling resources out of these nations. And of course, one of the most readily available resources that is always funneled out is the people. This has been very much exposed lately, the huge amount of human trafficking that is going on around the world, and this seems to be just more of the same. I mean, Donald Trump has no need to strike. Claiming this gas attack was Assad without presenting any evidence to the world is one thing, but then striking Syria with 50 Tomahawk missiles is another thing, and it was completely uncalled for. Admittedly, there weren't a lot of people killed, and it was more of a symbolic action more than anything. It's still was a ridiculous thing to do and still shows a president that has no grip on reality, because the truth of the matter is that there is no civil war in Syria, and Trump should admit this, and the fact that he isn't is very, very telling. And sure, there's all sorts of tactical reasons that are being offered to why he's done this. Oh, look, he's finally got the mainstream media off his back and he's got the approval of all these warmongering governments, and that'll stop all these people harassing him. And that's an interesting thing to note as well, just on the side of all this, folks, that isn't it funny how all of the governments of the world are so dead against Trump until he bombs a sovereign nation, and then they all think what a great guy he is and what a great job he's doing. Oh, look, he's continuing the war. That's good. He must be on our side. That's just the way they think. But yeah, folks, he's gathered the approval of all of these warmongering turds as well by his actions. So that's probably a good thing for him. And okay, so that's a great political move for him. Great chess move. And he's just hit an air base where there wasn't anybody there. He's just destroyed some old planes, so it isn't really going to mean anything bad and blah, blah, blah. But the fact is, folks, like I said, he hasn't called it out for what it is. He really hasn't. And claiming that this gas attack was Assad, when there is absolutely no evidence to support that claim, and even the media has even played it, they've said, oh, look, the Assad regime has been known to launch gas attacks before, referring to the gas attack in 2013, which we know was not Assad, we know was released by rebels, and we know was gas which was supplied by the West, and yet they're still pushing this. It's absolutely outrageous, folks, and to claim that Assad is launching gas attacks against his own people with absolutely zero evidence to back it up, and using children, oh my God, I'm so sick of hearing people use children as a justification to escalate conflict and kill more children. I mean, if Donald Trump is serious about saving children, well, the Clinton Foundation and DynCorp are still harvesting children in Syria. The operations in Haiti are still going on. There are hundreds of children being killed and harvested every day, and Donald Trump is doing nothing to stop this. He has not frozen the assets of DynCorp. He has not frozen the assets of the Clinton Foundation. All of the human trafficking is going on. We've seen, 3,000 petty pedophiles, low-level players arrested as some sort of appeasement for the Pizzagate researchers, but we haven't seen anything real happen at all. And every day, every hour, that Donald Trump does not call this fake war of terror out for what it is, and continues to support the concept that ISIS are Islamic extremists when they are actually a mercenary army funded by elements within the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, then he is simply supporting the same agenda. And that's the truth of the matter, folks. It doesn't matter what sort of 4D chess you think he's being played. The fact of the matter is that kids are dying, kids are being brutalized, kids are being trafficked and having their organs harvested, and people are being forced into slave labor, happening right now, happening in Haiti, just down the road from the United States, not too far away at all, and it's continuing, and Donald Trump is simply not calling it out. All of this stuff that's going on, folks, it's appeasement. It's theater for the masses. All of this posturing against Russia and Korea and all this sort of stuff, simply distractions, simply theater to continue the same disastrous agenda that we've seen unrolling for so many years. And at the same time, while he's doing this, he drops a MOAB on Afghanistan. Of course, the first time this has ever been used in combat, and that's a nice thing, isn't it? Let's just drop the mother of all bombs on ISIS. But that is not how you take out ISIS, folks. Dropping bombs on Afghanistan is not going to take out ISIS. You're going to take out ISIS by reducing funding to ISIS and stopping supply of arms and ammunition and logistical support to ISIS. And you can only do that by freezing the assets of DynCorp, the Clinton Foundation, cutting off support for Saudi Arabia, and stopping Israel from supporting these people, which is what they're doing. ISIS is receiving medical attention and logistical support in the Golan Heights. This is well documented. But in the same breath, when he drops this MOAB on Afghanistan and says how proud of the military he is for doing so, in the same breath, he says how proud he is of Israel. And what is there to be proud of Israel for? I mean, what are you proud of, Donald? Are you proud of the way they're exterminating the Palestinian people? Are you proud of the way they're still grabbing land, creating homelessness, creating terrorism, creating the most oppressive apartheid state you've ever seen in existence? Is that what you're proud of, Donald? How can people support Donald Trump when he is so openly in support of the rogue terrorist state of Israel? That's a question, folks. People need to ask this question because I think it is very, very revealing. Donald Trump is a player, folks. As I said last week, he knew about Pizzagate in late 2016 before the term was even coined. And this indicates that it was already in play. They knew it was going to happen. He just let that slip of the tongue come out and it got lost in the wash. But the fact that he said that in 2016 shows that he already knew that was going to happen, folks. It's a play. It was always a play. That's why the focus was on the pizza store. All of this that we're seeing now is simply theater. It really is. I don't think we're heading for World War III at all. World War III may come about or something that looks like it is, but it won't be really World War III. I mean, World War III, as far as I can see, is already being fought. World War III is a war that is being fought by the ruling kakistocracy and is being waged against the people of the world, and it started long ago. The people are already fighting this battle. We're just not aware that we are in battle. But we are being subject to a slow kill operation from every manner and angle you can think of, and we're not seeing it because we're constantly distracted by all of this world theater, which is exactly that. Theater for the masses. All the world is a stage, ladies and gentlemen, and all the major players on it that you see are exactly that. They are players. It's time for people to really start paying attention to this. And it's really time for people to break out of this left-right paradigm. You know, if you criticize Trump, people are still saying, well, what was the other option? People are still believing that there is a difference between Trump and Hillary. It's the same thing, folks. All you're getting is a different business model. But ultimately, it's the same plan, it's the same agenda, and it's still going forward. That's why Hillary isn't in jail yet, when putting her in jail is in fact one of Donald Trump's election promises. The fact of the matter is that they're all in this together, folks. It's all theater for the masses, and Trump is simply another player. You know, somehow through all of this, so much of the independent media have lost focus of what started this whole thing. What started this whole fake war of terror. Somehow, many elements within the independent media have begun to justify the use of tactical strikes, tactical military responses, things that are good political moves for Trump. You know, the war on terror is fake, folks. It's all fake. The whole thing has been contrived. It's based on a lie from the ground up. Always has been. And it hasn't changed now. And you're not going to stop the war by increasing military spending. You're not going to stop the war by bombing foreign countries, bombing Syria, regardless of what the political moves are and whether you were destroying old aircraft, whether you gave Russia 2 hours warning, escalating conflict, dropping bombs on countries and spending more money on building bombs and more money on increasing the military is no way to stop war. If you want to stop the war of terror and you want to fix the situation in Syria, you need to look at the root cause of the war of terror, which is 9/11. You need to investigate that right from day one and find out who is responsible so you know who the culprits are, so you know who you're waging war against. That would be helpful. And the fact of the matter is, as many people have pointed out, any investigation into 9/11 clearly reveals elements within the United States and Israeli and possibly other governments that were involved in this, and that those who were blamed for it had absolutely nothing to do with it, and that all of the action taken against Iraq and Afghanistan as a response has been contrived and built on a lie, and that there are elements within the United States, such as the Clinton Foundation, such as DynCorp, who could have their assets frozen and that money used to rebuild these countries. There are ways we can get around this, folks. But if you want to stop the war of terror, 9/11 is something that needs to be immediately investigated. But even without doing that, looking at the situation now, looking at all of these ISIS terrorists everywhere, if you want to stop this, you need to stop funding to them. You need to stop logistical support to them. And you do that, like I said, by freezing the assets of DynCorp and the Clinton Foundation, by withdrawing funding from Saudi Arabia, withdrawing funding from the State of Israel. You know, you're not going to stop terrorism and stop the creation of terrorism and stop any of this happening by bombing sovereign nations. It just doesn't work that way. Dropping bombs on foreign countries only creates the situation such as we see in Europe now. And those people who are screaming out saying, oh my God, look, Europe is overrun with Muslims. Oh my God, this is terrible. This is terrible. How can you tell us to stop bombing Muslim countries? Think about what you're saying, because the reason Europe is overrun with Muslims is because of the United States and its allies continuously bombing Muslim countries. They've got nowhere else to go, folks. They've been driven out of their homes. Their homes are now rubble, and they've gone into Europe with a chip on both shoulders. Of course they have, and they're not Muslims. These are just people who are really, really upset with everybody else because they've been bombed for their whole life. You know, it's just outrageous, folks. It really is. Donald Trump increasing military spending and going bombing a sovereign nation is not going to save anything, regardless of what political agenda he's pursuing, regardless of what sort of a chess move he's playing. If he wants to do the right thing and be an honest man, then he needs to call things out for what he is, and he simply isn't doing it. And his continual support for the state of Israel, which is one of the main purveyors of terrorism around the world and always has been, ever since the state was formed, then what are you going to do, folks? You think we're going to see a de-escalation in any of this? You think the state is suddenly your friend? I mean, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And people are still pursuing the left-right paradigm. They can't see that it's all theatre for the masses. It's just the same agenda. And while people are arguing amongst themselves, they're just allowing it to continue. No one's stepping back and looking at things for what they are and calling things for what they are. No one's removing their support for the system. And that's the only way you're going to stop any of this. You've got to remove support for the system. The 15th of every month, folks, a day of non-compliance. Let's do it. That's something that I'm going to continue to promote, and I hope other people get on board with. But I don't know why people can't see it. I don't know why people are stuck in this left-right paradigm. I mean, it should be so obvious to everybody now that Trump's a player. It really should. And it's time for those members of the independent media that have continued to support this man to own up and admit their mistake and admit that this is simply part of the same agenda. His undying and unwavering support for Israel shows it. He hasn't done anything that he said he was going to do, folks. No one's worried about the wall anymore between you and Mexico, are they? They're not too worried about that because they're too busy bombing Syria and screaming out about all these children that are being gassed when there's no evidence of any of this happening. It's just ridiculous, folks. It really is. Everyone's posturing against each other, and everyone's so paranoid about World War III, sending ships down to threaten North Korea, and North Korea's doing all this sort of stuff. Folks, they send people down there to North Korea every year to have war games or drills, training exercises, where the United States and South Korea get together and do military exercises where they basically overthrow North Korea and invade and take over the whole place. They've been running these exercises or drills for many, many years, basically showing the North Koreans, well, this is how we're going to destroy you one day. And they're saying, oh, we're not doing it as a threat, it's just a drill. Well, hang on, you don't go and have war games off the shore of a sovereign nation and have these war games designed to be an example of what you would do were you to invade and destroy that sovereign nation and say, oh, this is just a defense drill. It's not really a defense drill at all, it's provocation. And that's what the United States and NATO and all these allies do. They just provoke people. That's what they've done with Russia. That's what they've done with every country that they've been involved with. That's what they do with China. They're going to have war games in the China Sea and do drills in the China Sea. And they're all designed to provoke a response from these people. They move NATO borders right onto Russia and then accuse Russia of flying warplanes along NATO borders. Well, hang on, you move NATO borders so that they're now Russia's borders. So what's Russia supposed to do? I mean, this is the way they play it, folks. It's all theatre for the masses, and it's all designed to make the aggressive actions of the West and the United States and NATO seem like they are defensive actions, but they never are. And what we're seeing unfold now is nothing any different at all from what is always done and the way it's always played out. And Trump is simply following the same script. He really is. He's just doing it under the persona of being the battling underdog when really he's nothing of the sort. And so much of the independent media now seems to be setting themselves up, shaping itself up to become the new mainstream, and it's still feeding disinformation to the masses, albeit a little more peppered with truth, but still not the whole truth, most certainly. You know, all of these governments collude together, folks. All the wars that we fight are all contrived. They're all designed to serve purposes that are going on behind the scenes. It's about the human harvest more than anything, and it's just about shifting borders around and shifting political agendas around, and more than anything, controlling the various populations around the world via the threat of attack from somebody else who really isn't their enemy. I mean, if you travel around the world, you don't find people who want to overrun your country, folks. You really don't. And frankly, America is not threatened by anybody. Even China has said they would never attack America because were they to do so, they would find that there would be a gun hiding behind every blade of grass. And that's the fact of the matter with the United States, folks. You've got 300 million people, most of which are armed. You've got 300 million people and something like 900 million guns in circulation. So anybody who attacked the United States would have to be completely out of their mind. So the United States going overseas and threatening all of these countries and saying they're doing so in order for American national security is an absolute joke. It really is. Nobody wants war. Nobody you go to anywhere around the world, no country you go to wants war. Some countries are in terrible condition. They really are. Some countries are in terrible states. There are bands of terrorists and gangs and all sorts of rival and competing factions all over the place. And this is usually a result of Western intervention to begin with. We've gone in there and we've destabilized all of these countries, but we've created most of these situations. There's either really bad governments or there's no government and there's a state of not anarchy, but chaos, where you've simply got survival of the fittest situations such as we're seeing in Rwanda, some of the terrible situations we're seeing around the African continent, all again, which are the result of Western intervention. So it's really important that people step back and look at this. You know, I've said so often that there are no leaders in any of this. Trump isn't going to lead you to safety. He's not going to lead anybody to safety. The fact that he's bombing this country over here, the fact that he's bombing Syria and bombing Yemen and all this sort of stuff, screaming out about children. Oh my God, the terrible gas attack that killed all these children, while he's funding Saudi Arabia, which has been bombing and killing children for years. He's funding Saudi Arabia, which is trafficking in children. He's funding all of these terrible, terrible, abominable nations. Israel, which is the main purveyor of human organs in the world, is carrying out horrendous atrocities against the Palestinian people. All of this is going on. Like I said, the situation in Haiti is still continuing. All of this is going on, folks, and yet claiming to be doing this to save the children. You don't drop bombs on a sovereign nation to save children, folks. You don't drop bombs anywhere to save anybody. If you really want to take out Assad, go and bomb Assad's palace. They're not doing that. They just bomb the people all the time and then say, oh, we're trying to defeat ISIS terrorists, when really all the ISIS terrorists are a mercenary army funded by the West. We all know this. This has been clearly revealed in Hillary Clinton's own emails. So why isn't any of this being addressed, folks? You can call it 4D chess if you want. I just call it one big lie and a smokescreen and theatre for the masses. You don't stop war by escalating the conflict. You don't stop war by making more bombs and bombing people. You don't create peace by going to war with someone. You create peace by going to peace with someone. And we're not seeing that. We got promised that by the Trump election campaign. We saw all sorts of handshaking and flag waving and all sorts of appeasement being offered to Russia. And yes, yes, we're all going to be friends. We don't want war. We're going to de-escalate all this. And we're going to investigate 9/11. We're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to drain the swamp. But we haven't seen any of it, folks. We've seen the swamp just get refilled. We've seen the same agenda continue. We haven't seen the key points addressed, which is 9/11, the Clinton Foundation, DynCorp, and the State of Israel. We haven't seen any of those things addressed, folks. All we've seen is appeasement and theater for the masses and a continuation of the same neocon agenda. We really have. People say, well, the deep state has surrounded Trump and they've got Trump by the short and curlies and he's got to do what he's told. Yeah, I think there's more to it than that, folks. The fact that he dropped the name Pizzagate back in late 2016, it's really, really telling that he dropped that word way back then, months before it was ever coined. Or once before we believe it was coined anyway. It shows that it was already in the wind. It shows that he already knew about it. It shows that he knew what the play was. I think too many people are ignoring that fact. Too many people are ignoring the obvious. Too many people are trying to find something good in what he's doing and saying, well, he has to do it this way and he has to do it that way. And then I'll look at what he's actually saying and what he's actually doing. You know, the way that he keeps saying how proud he is of Israel. This is a very, very telling sign, folks. and the way that he's just promoting this gas attack. He came on, you know, I was nearly sick, honestly, when I saw him come on television and have that big, heartfelt talk about the poor children being gassed in Syria. And I just thought, this is the same story. This is the same story we heard from Obama. This is the same stuff we hear from George W. Bush. This is the same script. Who writes this stuff? It's the same stuff. And even before you've got a chance to investigate it, you haven't even got a chance to investigate it, folks. You'd already gone and ordered the missile strike. So what's this about? This is just the same agenda. It's the same thing. And people saying, oh, well, he did that to appease the mainstream media and to appease the other governments, and he warned Russia that he was coming, and he only hit this deserted airbase, and it was just a tactical move to get good political response. Look, he's not calling things what they are, folks. And a half-truth is a whole lie, especially when you know what the whole truth is. And we all know what the whole truth is. Most of the independent media knows what the whole truth is. Well, I like to think that they do anyway. But I just think people have forgotten where we came from. They've forgotten the focus that we should have. They've forgotten what brought us to this point. And 9/11 is important. All of this stuff is important. The war on terror is fake. It's completely fake. And there is no justification for military action in any degree at all towards any of it. You know, the whole concept of people still saying that, oh, this terrible ISIS Muslim threat, they've forgotten where they came from. They've forgotten who created ISIS, who funds ISIS, who created ISIS. It wasn't a mistake that they came into being. They didn't just randomly happen because the West left a power vacuum in the Middle East. They were funded. They were created. That's what the whole Arab Spring was about. It started in Egypt. It went over into Libya, and then it came into Syria. And it was predictable. I actually called it back in Boom, the Boom Festival 2014 that I spoke at. I actually called it there when I was having discussions with people. And here we see, it's just going ahead. And I don't know, people have forgotten where we came from. And we've got to regain this focus, folks, we really do. The state is not your friend. You know, we are still in a time of huge opportunity if people can just step back and look beyond the smokescreen. But anyway, I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Don't go away. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It really has been disturbing to see how much of the independent media is now fighting the left-right paradigm. They're just now locked into that agenda. They're now battling for either side of the state. And really, it's the state that's the problem, and nothing has changed. You know, while all this is going ahead, and while people are justifying Trump's political moves and his bombing of Syria or whatever, they're bringing in retinal scans at the airports in Canada. They've already got retinal scans in the airports in Australia. They're bringing in these cashless supermarkets all over the place. They've eliminated cash on many of the airlines now. There was a doctor dragged off an aircraft the other day. His seat was reallocated. Apparently they called for volunteers because there was such a backlog of travellers, so they called for 4 volunteers to remove themselves from the plane and allow 4 other people to take their place. And one doctor who had apparently not volunteered was told that he had volunteered, and the police were sent onto the plane and actually dragged the man off the plane, bloodied and beaten. And this is a doctor attempting to get to work. This is in the United States on United Airlines. So I would suggest everyone boycott United Airlines. I mean, this is a disreputable company because they're banning cash from their flights as well. They're making it all digital, folks. They want you to use your mobile phones. They don't want any cash involved. All this stuff's still going ahead, folks. Nothing's changed. The transhumanist agenda is going forward in leaps and bounds. The smart grid is still being rolled out. They're still putting smart meters in lots of houses around the place. So there's all sorts of stuff that is still going ahead in leaps and bounds, and nothing has changed. The left-right paradigm and war posturing seems to have gotten most people's attention, and even when looking at all of this war posturing, as I said before the break, many people have forgotten where we came from. What spawned this entire independent media and entire truth movement, really, if you want to be honest about it, was the 9/11 attacks. That's what spurned it into this independent media that we have now. It all rode on the back of those attacks. I mean, sure, there were people that were investigating before then. I was investigating before then. There are lots of people who were investigating things and saying things and pointing out where we were heading to. But this huge surge of conspiracy culture and this huge surge of independent media and independent journalists and YouTube journalists and all the stuff we've seen, all this has come from 9/11. And yet so many people look at that now and say, oh, that's old news. We don't need to look at that anymore. We already know that that's fake. We can move on. But not seeing that the entire global situation we're in now, ISIS, the whole lot, everything that we're seeing now is riding on the back of 9/11. It's riding on the back of 9/11, and it's also riding on the back of the Holocaust. I mean, Israel's position in the world is definitely riding on the back of the Holocaust. The inordinate amount of influence that Israeli politics has over the Western military machine is also riding on the back of the Holocaust. Most of this terrorism that happens in Europe is riding on the back of the Holocaust. But all this modern terrorism as well, and everything to do with the situation in the Middle East today, is riding on the back of the 9/11 attacks. That is where we came from as an independent media. It really is, if people are honest about it. Even if you're a young person, 18, 19, 20 years old, you're just starting out as an independent journalist, what you're doing is riding on the back of the 9/11 attacks. That's what started it all. That's what started this movement and gave it the huge groundswell that it's got today. And reinvestigating these attacks could stop this entire fake war of terror. It could stop the entire migrant influx into Europe. It could heal the situation in Palestine and Gaza. It could stop the bombing of Syria. It could stop the funding of ISIS. It could stop the Clinton Foundation in its tracks. And the Clinton Foundation and DynCorp are the two biggest mechanisms of instability in the world today. Of course, the Israeli government also fits in very close with that little group. The Israeli government is also a huge instability mechanism, and it's been designed to be that way. But we're in a situation now, we've got so much information at our fingertips. If we could just bring it all together, just get a little bit of respect in the independent media, allow people to think differently, allow people to have different ideas and bring it all together and just start calling all this out, folks. You know, we're dealing with a cacistocracy, regardless of who you think it is, regardless of who you think it's the Jesuits or whether you think it's the Jews or whatever you think it is. It's these criminal elements, this cacistocracy, these psychopaths, these lowlifes that are running this world into the ground, and it's our tolerance of this happening, our allowance of this. You know, we're so busy being distracted with all the trivia that we're given, sightseeing and buying trinkets and watching movies and all the stuff we do. We're so disconnected from ourselves in the process, you know, and it's so difficult to create the community that we need to deal with this problem. But ultimately, that's what the problem is, folks. The problem is that the world's run by criminals and nobody really cares about it. You know, people can point the finger at this and say we should go and bomb other countries. How's it going to solve things, going and bombing Syria? You know, continuing all this and escalating all this, how's it going to solve anything? None of this is going to solve anything. You know, and we just tolerate it. We say, oh, it's okay. We go back to our televisions or go back to our work or go out and party or go to the beach or whatever it is we do. But no one's really looking at it from a human perspective. And that's where the problem lies, folks. It really is. And like I said, we've forgotten our roots. We've forgotten where we came from. You know, the independent media could really make a difference now. I really believe we could, if we could get some focus, if we could get some unity. Stop trying to be the latest guru. Bring it all together. Let's all bring it all together, folks, because there's enough of us now. There really is. There's enough of us for us to make a real difference if we can get coordinated. And I'm not saying that we come together as one sort of a movement, anything that can be picked off, one sort of united front or something, anything like that. But let's all just get some focus. Let's all focus on the system and agree to support each other and help each other. Stop attacking each other. Allow people to think differently. That's all I've been saying for years. And, you know, I still see it as a way out. And I don't understand why people can't just follow that path, why they can't allow others to be different and just respect each other. And realize that we're all fighting a common foe here. We all need that common focus. It's okay for people to think differently, but don't attack them for that. Realize that they've got a common focus to you as well, which is freedom, emancipation from slavery, exposing the system for what it is. They just have a different way of going about it. Doesn't mean they're the enemy because they don't think like you. We all have this common focus, and if we can agree to respect each other and agree to allow people to think differently, then we can move forward. And it is a time of huge opportunity, folks. So let's not miss out on that. And let's not get stuck into this whole left-right paradigm. That's like I said, there's so much of the independent media that's trapped in this left-right rubbish and have suddenly fallen to supporting the state. And I just fail to see why they're doing this. You know, I mean, sure, there is a lot of the independent media that is very much trying to set themselves up as the new mainstream, I think. They're trying to gain that type of credibility. But why they can't see the state isn't their friend, I don't know. I mean, I don't know why they're selling this concept to people that Trump has their best interest at heart, because he doesn't. He hasn't done any of the major things he needs to do to stop any of this. All he's doing is continuing it, so that should be a sign for everybody. I mean, it really must seem remarkable to people, though, that they voted for this guy believing that he was going to lead them away from war, and he's brought us to the brink of what would appear to be World War III even quicker than Hillary Clinton would have done. And that's a pretty remarkable feat, to have been able to achieve that type of a backflip and that type of a response within 3 or 4 months of being president, and still to have so much of the independent media standing behind him and supporting him in this action. It's absolutely remarkable, and shows just how unprepared people are to sometimes face reality, even when it hits them smack in the face. But then I guess it must be extremely embarrassing for some of these people, because there were so many people who did get behind him and support him. And not so for the people who voted for him. I mean, many of the people who voted for him, I can well understand why they would. I mean, when faced with Hillary Clinton, when faced with the prospect of this woman entering the White House and having control of things, I mean, you're going to vote for Trump. Absolutely, that's who you're going to vote for. And if I was in a position where I had no choice, well, I would have definitely voted for Trump over Clinton. But and people have to understand it's the same thing. It's the same coin. It's just a different play. It's just a different chess move, but ultimately it's moving towards the same checkmate. And the foreign policy reveals all. It really does. The foreign policy and the failure to address so many key issues, it really does tell what's going on, folks. And even these arrests of these 3,000 low-level pedophiles. I mean, the number is great. 3,000 sounds like a lot. But when you realize that these are just low-level players, these are probably guys living near schools or something they've had tabs on for years. These aren't major players, folks. This also shows me very much that Trump is a player, and that there is so much theater involved in this. I mean, yeah, with the release of Pizzagate, the focus on the pizza store, now they suddenly swoop on 3,000 low-level players, so it all looks good for the news. Well, good for the independent news anyway. You notice how none of the mainstream media addressed any of this? Because that way it makes it look legitimate for the conspiracy movement, those who look behind the scenes and think, oh, look, the mainstream isn't talking about these pedophile arrests, they're trying to cover it up. They're not talking about it, folks, because it's just low-level players. It's not what we're looking at. And it's just the classic bait and switch. You know, they do it this way so that those looking into Pizzagate think that the independent media is covering it up and that Trump is actually arresting the real players. Yeah, it's all theater, folks. It really is. None of the real stuff is being addressed, and I'm just not expecting it to be addressed anytime in the future. I don't think we're going to see it from this president, folks. I think that he's just another player. And like I said, I don't blame people for voting for him. I mean, given that choice, who else are you going to vote for? So don't feel too bad that you've been duped, because, you know, this is what happens, folks. It happened with so many people with Obama that got duped. So many people get duped by this system, and it's very easy to understand how discouraging that can be. But I don't think there's any type of finger pointing that needs to go towards people who voted for Trump. I can totally understand why they did so. I just think it's time for these people to understand that, hey, you've been played, because this hasn't really changed anything at all. In fact, the situation has deteriorated far more rapidly than what they would have been able to do had Hillary been elected. I mean, Hillary wouldn't have been able to do any of this because we're all onto her. Everyone was expecting her to do something like this. But Trump, he's been able to get away with it with such an incredible amount of ease because he's had so much of the backing of the independent media in what he's done. And that's a pretty scary thing. Great chess move, but you've got to understand that's what it is, folks. It's a chess move. these people are pretty clever, and so many people got played with this. But I think now's the time for the blinkers to come off, folks. Now's the time for people to realize that it's just more of the same. And so what we have to do is look at the opportunities that are there for us in all of this. And really, the opportunity is there for people to realize that there are no leaders. No one's going to lead you for safety. It's all just this political play, and you actually have to take responsibility for yourself. You really do. You know, we all do. And if we do, then we can change things. And if we can respect each other, we can do that very quickly. And that's why I've been promoting this for so many years now, just to put down all your stuff with people, allow people to think differently, respect each other, and let's all come together and call this rubbish out for what it is, because really, folks, that's what it is. It's rubbish. It's theatre. And it's time we stood up and grew up and realized we don't need new parents, which is basically what our government is. We don't need these parents, folks. They're not good parents. We need to take responsibility for ourselves, and it's not going to happen until we call it. So, hey, let's do it. I mean, just the amount of distraction we're seeing at the moment, folks. Distraction from everywhere. It's incredible. There's all of this posturing overseas, all this foreign policy, this posturing against Korea and everything that we're seeing. And I believe it's all to distract from the fact that the agenda is just going forward. You know, no one's really noticing what's happening on the ground. And even all the money that they said they were going to be spending on the economy. Remember, Trump said he was going to make America great again. And now all of these overseas governments are saying, well, Trump has had an injection of realism into his foreign policy now that he's fighting wars again. And now he's saying, well, look, I really do want to fix the economic situation in the United States, but we just have to take care of business over here first. And he's not calling the war of terror out for what it is. This should show people that it's all a play. Whether the deep state has influenced him and has taken over his moves and is controlling him now, that's what people are saying. But I really don't think that, folks. I think it's all been a play from the beginning. That's how he knew about Pizzagate so early. That's how he already knew that term existed long before we believed it was coined. I look at this now, folks, and I think that Hillary Clinton was never meant to win. The timing of the release of Pizzagate, the timing of all this information, just to legitimize the Trump presidency. There are so many things that have happened to legitimize it. The way these 3,000 pedophiles have been rounded up and everything I mentioned in the first half of the show, this is all to appease the independent media. These are none of the real players. There are so many players going on at the moment, and so much of the independent media is floundering because they supported the rise of Trump. He probably wouldn't have even got there and been able to pull it off if it wasn't for the independent media. So many players within the independent media anyway who were supporting him and giving weight to his presidency. And I think it was a play anyway. I think he would have won anyway, even were it not for the support that he got from the independent media, because I think it was a play. It was a setup. He was supposed to win. But they had to play it this way. They had to legitimize it this way. And even now, as I mentioned earlier, there's so many players in the independent media which are still looking at it as the left and right paradigm. And if anybody criticizes Trump, they immediately say they must be a supporter of Hillary. And they're always talking Republican, Democrat, left and right, left and right. There is no left and right, folks. It's theatre for the masses and always has been. And so much of the independent media has lost focus on that. And that is what has been so disturbing. But many people are beginning to backpedal. Many people are looking for a way out of the support that they had so long given this man. But really, what he's done in Syria, folks, this is an open slap in the face to everybody who voted for him. And with this action in Syria, he's not putting America first at all. He's putting Israel first. And that should be plain for everybody to see. He's praised Israel in every action that he does. He praises Israel. So who is this man really a president for? The United States of America or the United States of Israel? You know, we have so much potential as a species, ladies and gentlemen. We really do. We have so much potential. But we are constantly browbeaten and driven down, and we're given little carrots that are dangled in front of our faces, and we believe that these carrots are going to lead us to freedom. And every time we are lifted up, the rug is pulled out from beneath us and we fall down again. And this happens time and time again until people begin to lose all confidence in themselves and wonder if there will ever be a way out of this mess. And they do it because their trust is always misplaced. They start gaining a little bit of confidence in themselves. They start really believing they can make a difference. And then suddenly along comes a knight on a white horse and claims that he's going to lead them to safety. And they all fall in line and they fall behind him. But the knight ends up to be a traitor. He ends up doing the wrong thing and leads them off in the wrong direction. And they become despondent. They become discouraged. Eventually, they will climb back up from the depths of despair. They'll rally themselves again and they'll look for another way out. And they'll again get co-opted by another leader and led down the garden path and again demoralized and further pushed behind the eight ball. And it happens to us so often, and it makes me wonder why we continue to look for these leaders, why we continue to believe that someone is going to come along and save us when we haven't changed what is in our own hearts to begin with. And I've often said, folks, you know, if we were to change what was in our hearts, we would change the world by default anyway. That's the thing. You know, and even with what Trump's doing, we tolerate it. There's so many people that are justifying what he's done. So many people are justifying his missile strike. Ah, it was only 50 Tomahawk missiles. 50 Tomahawk missiles is a lot of missiles, folks. You know, it doesn't matter whether he's got some political motivation in what he did. What he did was send 50 missiles or 59 missiles into a sovereign nation and bomb one of their airports. People are saying, oh, he didn't damage the runway, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. It doesn't matter what he didn't do, it matters what he did. What he did was he sent missiles into a foreign country. He attacked a government which is defeating these terrorists, which is defeating ISIS. He provided air support for ISIS terrorists, effectively, that's what he did. Because that's the only people that are going to benefit from this airstrike, is those who are fighting against the Syrian government. And the Syrian government so far has been the only one who has had any success at all in dispelling ISIS from the country. So what's really going on here? It's the same thing, folks. It's the same old agenda. But we have so much potential. We really do. And we've got to stop believing others are going to lead us to safety, because all it succeeds in doing is causing us to put people up on pedestals, and the more they fall on us, the more we get hurt. And they fall on us every time, folks. The pedestals always break, they always fall down, and they always land on us, and they do damage. We've got to stop believing in other people. We've got to start believing in ourselves. And if you're not prepared to believe in yourself, why would you believe in anyone else anyway? You know, you've got to really look at this and put it in perspective, folks. All of these people are just people. That's all they are. That's the thing, you know, they're not demigods. Trump isn't some demigod because he's rich and wears a big suit and has a fancy comb over. It doesn't make him Superman. It doesn't make him anyone who's going to come along and change things for you. It's got to come from you. That's the only place it's ever going to come from. It's got to come from the hearts of each and every person out there. People have got to be willing to get involved. And they've got to see the reasons that they have to be involved. I mean, this is such an important time in history, folks, and we have so much potential and so much ability, and we are on the verge of something wonderful if people would just participate and put their stuff down with each other and participate in making this a better world. The world is really crying out for us to do it. You know, how many people have to suffer before we're going to step up to the plate and step into who and what we really are? How many people are we going to allow to suffer? That's the question. It's our tolerance, folks. It's always been our tolerance of all this stuff which allows it to continue. Even when Trump breaks all his election promises and goes and bombs Syria, it's our tolerance of it. Why are people supporting this? Why are people suddenly supporting the state? Just because the state's got a different face and the state made a few statements to appease the truth of community but hasn't done anything to follow through on them, why are people still supporting this man? What's he saying? You know, we've just got to deal with business first. Well, the business that you're dealing with is the fake war of terror, which you could deal with properly by addressing the fact that it is fake and addressing the fact that it was built on a lie from the ground up and addressing the fact that 9/11 was not staged by Muslim extremists. And if it was, well, those Muslim extremists come from Saudi Arabia, so why is there no sanctions against Saudi Arabia? Of course, it's because of the special deals and the special relationship that the United States has with Saudi Arabia. It's all about the petrodollar, of course. But that's another side of the coin, isn't it? You know, the problem, folks, is that the world is run by criminals. It's run by a kakistocracy of people who are incredibly dishonest in everything they say and everything they do. And Donald Trump is no different. You know, half-truth is a whole lie, most especially when putting it on the global stage and looking at the global situation and when addressing the war on terror and what it really is, when addressing ISIS and who they really are. A half-truth is a whole lie. And Donald Trump is not telling the truth on any of these issues, folks. He's just created such a theatrical presidency. Like I said, the struggling underdog battling against the deep state while he's trying to bring about a wonderful new world for the people. What a load of rubbish. I can't believe that anybody is buying into it, but unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are. But I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel, folks. I think that the actions of Donald Trump are serving to reveal this man for what he is, and it's my great hope that people will wake up and smell the coffee and see how they're being played while we still have the opportunity to bring about some remedy. And we do have that opportunity, folks. The opportunity is there. It's always been there, and it probably will always be there. The problem is, how aware will we be if we allow this deep state to continue doing what it's doing? If we allow this AI control grid to come online, how aware are our kids going to be? How aware is anybody going to be? How much awareness are they going to have to be able to even notice that they're living in a prison and that they're part of a slavery system? If we don't do it with this generation, then there won't be much hope for the kids, folks. So I think it's time we seized these opportunities while we still have them. So we're getting very close to the end of this show here, ladies and gentlemen. As I've been mentioning for the last few weeks, I'm doing a bunch of gigs around the United States and Canada and in England as well. Next weekend, I'm speaking at a gig called Regeneration, which is being held at Big Bear Lake. Do try and come along to that. I'm speaking with Benny Wills and Bernard Gunther and a whole bunch of other people. It's going to be a great day, and I'm really looking forward to that one. After that, I'm speaking at a chemtrail conference in Portland, Oregon. You'll find details for that on the website as well. That is on the 7th of May. And then on the 14th of May, I'm speaking at a gig in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and I'm looking forward to that one as well. This is the first time I've spoken in Canada, and it may be the only time I speak in Canada, so do try and get along to that one. After that, on the 20th of May, I'm speaking at Ian Crane's AV8 gig in England, and that's a very good gig, folks. I believe that's sold out, so if you haven't got a ticket, you may be missing out on that one, although you may still be able to get a day ticket, I'm not sure. Just check the website for details on that. And there's also a gig on the 28th of May, which is being held at Swindon in England, and you'll find details to that on my website as well. I'm speaking at that gig with Mark Devlin, and I think there may be another one or two speakers as well, and that will be something worth coming along to, folks. Then I've got a whole bunch of other stuff that is being organised at the moment, and I will keep you posted on that. But the next major thing after May will be the Open Mind Conference, which is being held in Denmark, and I'm certainly looking forward to that one as well. So do try and come along to one of those gigs, folks. As I've said quite often recently, this will be the last tour I'm doing for quite some time, at least until 2020. I don't expect you'll see me out and about before then. And we'll see how I feel in 2020, whether I really want to go back on the road again. But sometimes, well, we do these things because they just have to be done, which is really the main reason that I tour anyway, folks. I certainly don't do it for the money, because it just doesn't seem to be much involved in doing these gigs. You certainly don't get paid for them anyway. So, well, occasionally you do, but that is a rare thing these days, I think. But do try to come along to some of these gigs, folks. It would be lovely to meet some of you. And again, it will be the last chance you get to see me for quite some time. But I think that is about it for me now, folks. I think we've pretty well reached the end of the show. I will come on and do a show for you again next week. I'll try to get one pre-recorded during the week, because I'm going to be up at Big Bear Lake next week speaking. And again, do try to come along to that. It's going to be a great gig. But I will get a show out for you next week, and I'll continue to get them out for you while I'm on the road. And so you need have no fear of that. Thank you to all those people who continue to support the website. Thank you to all those people who support the Patreon account. This is my only source of income, folks. I've never monetized my YouTube channel because I really don't want to be feeding people advertisements all day. I don't want them to be advertising Nikes on my clips. So I've never monetized my account. I've simply given all my stuff away for free, and I've always done that, and I will continue to do it. And I've just relied on the generosity of those who feel that they would like to contribute something back. And so I thank all those who have done so in the past and who continue to do so, and all those who support the website and all those who support the Patreon account. Thank you very much for that, folks. You are really my only lifeline at the moment. But that's it for me, folks. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please do take very good care until then, and don't let the current global situation get you down too much. It's all a play, folks, and we will find the light at the end of the tunnel eventually. I'm completely sure of that. But take care until I next come and speak to you, and I'll look forward to doing so when it happens. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.